First Kings. Let's do a review, of course. So you got to review Elijah just a little bit. So are you ready, Danica, John? Here we go. Here comes Olivia. Yep. Are you ready? What did the still small voice say to Elijah? Did he say, A, did you turn off the lights in the cave when you left? B, where do you think you're going? C, what doest thou here, Elijah? 4, did you turn off the curling iron when you left?
3.
3, okay, good. What doest thou here, Elijah? Number 2, who did Elijah think was left with him to follow God? A, no one. B, the women only. C, the men only. 4, or D, no one. Nope. No one. He thought he was all by himself. Nobody else can go with him. What did Elijah think they wanted him for? They were after him. What do they want? Do they want his recorder? His life? His pet dog? Or his table of 10 commandments? His life. Okay, they wanted his life. That means they wanted to kill him. Kill him. Now, all these people, who has everybody been bowing down to? They bowed down to somebody. Were they bowing down to God? Baal? Baal? Or Jezebel?
Baal.
Baal. Baal. There we go. Baal. B-A-A-L. Baal. Okay, how many people did God say he still had with him who haven't bowed to Baal? 1,000, 2,000, 300, 7,000. No, excuse me, 100, 1,000, 2,000, 300, or 7,000? 7,000. Thank you very much, Grandpa. Jump in any time, Olivia, anybody else. Along with bowing down to their false god, which like a statue kind of thing, bow down, all that kind of stuff. So what else did they do to that thing? Shook his hand, kissed him, rubbed his feet, patted him on his back. Kissed him. They just go all over this stuff. Oh, this is the deal. Okay, here we go. Now we're in the Second Kings a little bit, King Ahab. After King Ahab died, who was the king? Ahaziah, Gezinite, Don, bees are a stinger bug. You know King bees are a stinger bug. Who's that? Ahaziah, yep. Gezinite was the musician for the group there. I'm trying to remember why I have Don. 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 Who would I think of Don? What? Was there? Okay, good. Gunkles, good to see you. I was wondering. Yeah, okay. Good to have you here. I've been kind of curious about you a little bit. What does the king fall out of? Remember this new king, he falls out of this place here. Does he fall out of the palace window, the palace ladder, the palace roof, or the palace radio tower?
Palace window.
What does Elijah tell him he is going to do? Live happily ever after, die, take piano lessons, or pick weeds out of the garden. Die. Choices aren't all that tough. You know, I remember I wish my teachers were like this, but they never were. What element or whatever does Elijah seem to always be around? Fire, water, smell, or touch?
Fire.
Fire. He's always around fire. He really had to be careful all of his life, didn't he? Okay, now here we go. You got to listen close on this one. They're back! You're still white as ever. What's with that? Okay. Here we go. Now, this is really close to this one. Wow. Well, 5 minutes is better than no minutes. Okay. Here we go. Listen closely. What did Elijah look like in his appearance? Hairy and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins? Not yet. I'm never going to put that first. The answer is never going to go first anymore. Okay, that could be this one. Bald and girt with a coat made out of rooster feathers. Bald and girt with a girdle of palm leaves about his loins. Hairy and girt with a pair of wool socks. Leather about his loins, yeah, very good. Okay, number 12. How did God take up Elijah? He died, whirlwind, hurricane, rocket from Cape Canaveral.
Whirlwind,
there we go. Who did Elijah's mantle fall on? His butler, Elijah, the local tax collector, or Clyde?
Elisha.
Who said that Elijah would return in the future? Matthew, Moses, Malachi, or Amos?
Malachi.
Last book of the Old Testament. When did Malachi say that Elijah would return? As soon as Moses would come down from the mountain, when his headache went away, as soon as the South Carolina hazmat team could find him, or before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord?
Before the coming of the dreadful day of the Lord.
Yeah, before the Lord. And that's not going to be a good time for the world. When he comes for us, it'll be a great time. He's only going to, we're going to meet him in the air. But when he comes down the land, that will be a great and dreadful day for this world. 15. In the Gospels, Elijah showed up with whom when Jesus was transfigured? Maybe he became extremely bright and white, and Elijah came. Somebody else was with him. Was it Moses, Paul, Timothy, or Peter?
Peter.
Moses. Very good. Moses. When does Elijah come back to earth again? During the tribulation, during the flood of Noah? How could that be the flood of Noah? When he feels like it, or New Year's Day?
Tribulation.
Very good. One more. Who does Elijah show up with during the tribulation? Moses, Aaron, Austin, or Hugh Floyd?
Moses.
There we go.
Austin.
Well, I kind of hope you don't have, I mean, if you're going to be at the tribulation, might as well be one of those two guys, but otherwise they still have it rough. I mean, still not. Here we go. 2 Kings. You ready? 2 Kings, chapter 2. Let's get into this new guy, Elisha. 2 Kings chapter 2. Now remember, we're not just doing studies of people stuff. We're trying to find out what's in these things for us, this whole Old Testament. And we're going to concentrate lots of the times on the people. But, so today, actually next week too, I'm sure, Elijah is just full of miracles. I mean, this guy's got miracles coming out of his bag. It's just amazing here. So 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9. Let's kind of pick it up there. Going to go back just a snitch here. We're back to Elijah. Here's how this whole thing gets passed over to Elisha. Verse 9, and it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. You know, if just before you die, just before your parents die, and they ask you, what do you want? What are you going to tell him? You know, yeah, everything. He says, "And what shall I do for thee before I be taken away from thee?" And Elisha said, "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." He didn't want his things, the double portion of the spirit. And he said, "Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so." So when Elijah is going to be taken out of this whirlwind, Elisha has to see it. Otherwise, he doesn't get it. Verse 11, and it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. That happened. Doesn't happen today, because this is old, doesn't happen that way today, but it happened. And Elijah saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes, and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back, and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither. Ever smack your hand down into the water, they just part hither and thither kind of a thing? And Elisha went over it, and the waters parted hither and thither, and he, there he goes. Try that, Gavina, we'll try that more efficient. We'll have you stand out there and smack the water, and see if it can part so we can go the other side. You ever done that? No. Yeah, I don't think it'll work. Okay, verse 15. So Elijah's gone, and Elisha is now on the scene. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. So they recognized that, and they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. You know, they didn't just bow, right? I mean, to the ground. A long ways down for some people. Okay, now, Here's the first thing Elisha does for his business, his ministry. Here we go. You ready for this? What a way to start. And they said unto him, Behold now, there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master, lest peradventure the Spirit of the Lord hath taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley. They're still looking for who? Yeah, still looking for him. And he said, Ye shall not send. He made a statement. He's the boss now. Ye shall not send. And when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, Send. Do you ever, kids, you ever just keep hounding your parents for something and something and something? Finally, they give in and give it to you? Mm-hmm. See, that's not the right way to do things at all. Elisha knew where Elijah's gone. He's gone. And these people wanted to go find him. He said, No. But they finally talked him into it. And look what it says. Urged him until he was ashamed. Just, they're not listening to me. They're not paying attention to me. They must not love me. They must not care. They don't trust me. Okay, go. You know, you want this thing, you can have it, whatever. And that's too bad. They sent, therefore, 50 men, and they sought 3 days, but found him not. Well, of course not. He's not there. And when they came again to him, for he tarried at Jericho, he said unto them, Did I not say unto you, Go not? You know, you get a couple days after having that toy and you don't want the toy, or it breaks or something. You know how toys are today. They don't, you know, they break. And you say, Well, didn't I tell you that you didn't need it? See, but still, he lost in the whole deal in the first place. They should have just listened to him in the first place. So there's his first bit of business. Wasn't the best, was it? Okay, verse 19 here. Yep, verse 19. And the men of the city said unto Elisha, Behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth, but the water is not, and the ground barren. That means there must be what going on? A drought. And he went forth unto the... He said, 20, verse 20, and he said, Bring me a new cruse, and put salt therein. We used to say that, didn't we, back in the 50s. Let's go on a new cruise. And you just went on a cruise. See, that's how that goes. And he said, Bring me a new cruise and put salt therein. Okay. You ever drunk salt water? Pour a bunch of salt in your water? Yeah, I bet you girls did this last week, didn't you? Drink a little salt water, did you? Accidentally? Ever go in the water? Oh, cold. Yeah, cold, and it kind of tends to take you out and take you to Japan sometimes. You don't want to go there without a boat. Okay, well, when you go home, you take a bunch of salt and pour it in some water and drink it.
I've
tried it. Yeah. Well, I guess if you do it when you got a sore throat or something, you gargle with it or something, you know. And he went forth into the spring of the waters and cast the salt in there and said, Thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. Now, looking back at verse 21, the phrase, Thus saith the Lord. What did Elisha do here? He quoted Scripture. The Lord was Scripture. And what the Lord said, he said, Thus saith the Lord, I have healed. See, he didn't just say, I healed these waters, meaning Elisha. He said, Thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. So who healed the waters? Did Elisha heal the waters? See, the Lord healed the waters. But still, Elisha had to be there. So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying, which is what the Lord said, of Elisha, which he spake. Now, what do we have today, kids? What do we have today that we say the Lord said? Our Bible. See, in these days, they didn't have this. And God would speak to these people, and he would tell Elisha, here's what to say. And then Elisha would say, The Lord said. That's just like when your kids are invited to go someplace or something and it's not a good place to go. You can say, My mama or my dad doesn't want me to go there. My dad says this is not a good place to go or whatever. You can say your parents did that. Because that's what your parents are for, is to keep you from things that ought not be, or help you do things that ought be. Well, my dad said, my mom said, that's okay. And in this case, he said, The Lord, thus saith the Lord. Verse 23. So there was one little miracle. Bunch of salt in the water fixed it all up. Okay, here we go. 23. Now, I think you've all probably read this one. Have you read this one, Olivia? This next couple of verses? No? Bald guy? All right. Let's see, we kind of check around. Everybody bald, we probably... You've already seen it. Dan, Caitlin, have you read about this next couple of verses here? It's about this bald guy? Okay, yeah. Well, you know, Danica, someday, Grandpa just may be that way. But see, don't make fun of him. Never make fun of your grandpa's bald head if he gets one. I'm losing some right in here. You noticed it again this morning. And he went up from thence unto Bethel. And as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city. What are little children doing out of the city? They're already, we got a problem here. What do we call them today? Yeah, hoodlums, gangs, you know, the band. Anyway, came forth little children out of the city and mocked him. That's the teasing, they're laughing at him. And mocked him and said unto him, go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. Yeah, they're just teasing the guy and call him a bald head, you know. Somebody could call me Big Nose if they wanted, you know. Hey, Big Nose. Or I could say to you, Hey, Toothless. Well, I was called quite often as a child, I was called Four Eyes. That was a big one back then. Hey, Four Eyes. You know. And that's, yeah. But boy, I tell you, I wish I'd have known Elisha's trick back in those days. You know. Look at this, verse 24. Anybody ever call you anything? Names or anything? You know, stretch? Something like that or whatever. And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood. And it's interesting that they're she-bears, but we won't go there. Just, could have been he-bears. No, he had to get up she-bears. He knows they would do the job. The he-bears are probably back there playing cards or something, you know. And tear 42 children of them. That was a mess. Now, do you see what's going on, Gavino? These kids are laughing at this guy. They call him bald. You hate bald head. And he turns around. Here comes two bears out of the woods. She bears, of course. And tears them up. 42 kids. Could you do that?
No.
Could you walk up to somebody and say, stand still for a minute. You two she bears, come here. Eat. That's still a miracle there. Still something he had the power to do. Wow. And he went from thence to Mount Carmel. But I think, you know, you said you stick two bears on 42 kids and you go to the candy store and have some Carmel. I think that makes sense. To Mount Carmel. And from thence he returned to Samaria. This Elisha is quite a guy, isn't he? And what should be done to gangs today? Yeah, she bears. Here, honey, you go get them. Anyway. It's interesting. And then it never comes up in a story again, but it's quite a story. Have you ever heard of this story before? Yeah. You wait. Hello. This is rough, isn't it? Yeah, this is rough. Okay, chapter 3. Here we go. Chapter 3. Now we got two rulers or two kings. Now Jehoram, the son of Ahab. Remember, Ahab, bad guy. Suppose the son isn't a whole lot better. I don't know. We'll see, I guess. Now, Jehoram, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel in Samaria, the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 12 years. Okay, so we got two guys here now. And he wrought evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father and like his mother, for he put away the image of Baal that his father had made. See, so there's Jehoram. He's not as bad as dad, but he's still kind of bad, pretty bad. Wrought evil in the sight of the Lord, but not as bad as his dad. Nevertheless, he cleaved unto the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which made Israel to sin. He departed not therefrom. And Mesha, king of Moab, was a sheep master, and rendered unto the king of Israel 100,000 lambs and 100,000 rams. That is a lot of little critters. How many do you think you had out there? Like, remember when you had me come out and look at the sheep? And you were cut?
1,000.
There's 1,000 there?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's a lot. There's double it, because there'd be another 1,000. 100. 100,000. Okay, it's 100 of those. Now we got a problem here. But it came to pass when Ahab was dead that the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. We got a problem here. And the king Jehoram went out of Samaria at the same time and numbered all Israel. So we've got to take a census. And he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, saying, "The king of Moab hath rebelled against me. Wilt thou go with me against Moab to battle?" And he said, "I will go up. I am as thou art, my people as thy people, and my horses as thy horses." And he said, "Which way shall we go up?" And he answered, "The way through the wilderness of Edom." So the king of Israel went, and the king of Judah, and the king of Edom, and they fetched a compass of 7 days' journey. And there was no water. Well, they run out of water a lot, don't they, in these stories? And they're in the desert. You've got to have water. And there was no water for the host and for the cattle that followed them. And the king of Israel said, "Alas, that the Lord had called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." Now, Jehoshaphat's got a concern here. But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him?" They wanted to find out what God's going to do with this whole thing. And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, "Here is who? Here is Elisha." Here we go. "The son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah." And Jehoshaphat said, "The word of the Lord is with him." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. Now, do you see what how they look at this guy? John and Danica, do you see what they're doing here? This guy is a prophet of the Lord. The Lord himself will tell Elisha what's going on. So they want to find out what the Lord has to say. They go to this prophet Elisha. And they call him prophet of the Lord. Now, you kids need to know that if you live long enough to be an adult, there are no prophets anymore. There are no prophets. Where do you go to hear what the Lord has to say? Right here. He put it in writing because he knows we're going to be deaf, we're going to have a horrible memory, we're going to be too busy to listen to him, so he gave it in writing, and it's going to, every one of us has the words of the Lord in your house. Some of you even have your own Bible. Those are the words of the Lord. That does not make you a prophet, that makes you a Bible reader. This is what Elisha was able to say, what God told Elisha. Didn't have a Bible, God just spoke to him. So, this is what we're going to learn out of this today, is God went through these specific people that he had called and chosen and told them what they needed to say. And Jehoshaphat knew that he's going to learn here that Elisha is going to tell us what God says. Here you go, verse 12. And Jehoshaphat said, "The word of the Lord is with him." Is that the testimony you have, parents? Is that the testimony you want your kids to have someday? Somebody look at you and go, "That guy's got the Bible. He understands what God has to say." That's supposed to be our testimony. Now, not many people are going to be excited about that. They're not going to believe that. But how many people believe that these prophet people were of God? What did they have to do in the Old Testament to get people to believe that they were prophets of God? Miracles. They had to do things that human beings cannot do. I have tried the last two falls to call a bear out of the woods. I could not do it. If I was a prophet of God, I could walk around and find him in there before he even came out. But I can't do that. These guys could do things that human beings could not do.
Try bald head.
Oh, God, go out there and I yell bald head. I'll take you with me. Well, that wouldn't bother me any. I would not be surprised. So, okay, here we go. Now, it gets even better yet here. And Elisha said unto the king of Israel, verse 13, "What have I to do with thee? Get thee to the prophets of thy father and to the prophets of thy mother." And the king of Israel said unto him, "Nay, for the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." And Elisha said, "As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, surely, were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee, nor see thee." Now look at what he does here. "Now bring me a minstrel." That's a musician. And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. Now there we have a minstrel doing some music, some minstreling, and here's this, all of a sudden, God works. Let's see. Old Testament, days of the prophets, days of miracles. We don't do that today. Just because you play a nice, beautiful, or a mean, tough recorder, you know, God isn't going to suddenly show up. That's not how he does things today. And what do we see people doing in churches? You probably don't see this, but they're all through all the churches in this country, in this world, what is the main element of that church now? Music. And they think that God shows up when they play that. And just by reading this Bible, which your parents have heard, Acts chapter 17 tells us God doesn't do that these days because God's not in the building. He's supposed to be in the people, and chances are he's not even in those people. He's not in those buildings, and they're actually minstreling to who? An unknown God. They have no idea what they're doing, and God is not there. So we can learn from the Old Testament by seeing what worked then. We know it doesn't work today. So it's just one verse, and you got all this problem going on. There's going to be this. God's going to somehow give over Moab here, and he says here, when the minstrel played, that the hand of the Lord came upon him. Old Testament though, and he said, "Thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches." For thus saith the Lord. There it is again. For thus saith the Lord. Ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beasts. Now, is that not amazing or what? You go down to the Columbia River, and we're starting to see islands in the middle of this thing, and we know sometime we're going to have some rain somewhere. We're just going to have to. Do we want rain yet? Right now? Okay. So, we're running out of water, and what are we going to do? It's got to rain. And you get up in the morning, and here's the Columbia River right up to the banks. Here's Lake Bennington right to the top, and little minnows or little fish are jumping over the top. And there's so much water everywhere. The ditch is out here full of water. And it didn't rain. Didn't rain anywhere. Would that not be a miracle? Yeah. That's what happens. Make this valley full of ditches. You won't see any wind. Won't see any rain. Yet those things are going to get filled up. And he says in verse 18, and this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. That's just a little boop as far as God's concerned. He can do that. That's not even thinking about it. Boop, there you want some water here. It's a light thing. You know, it's kind of like, kids, now you listen to this. You ever have to pick up your room, pick up your toys and stuff, and sometimes you don't want to? I mean, it's a major event. Ah, oh, this is so hard. You mean pick up my toys? All of them? Just go ride your bike. And see, here, it's no big deal. You realize all the things that your mom has done in a day and in a life, and if all she had to do today was pick up a few toys? Hey, skateboard, any of that stuff. That is not a big deal. It is a light thing. I'm not asking you to paint the world. I'm asking you just to pick up your toys. It's just a little thing I'm asking you to do. See, it's a light thing. And here, Elisha, and here God says, here, make all these ditches and puts these ditches out there and fills them up with water. Can you do that? Sure you can, but you got to get a hose. And you got to come up with some water somewhere. You can't just stand there and go, water up here. You can't do that. But to God, that's just nothing. It's just a light thing. Just a light thing. He's going to deliver the Moabites. Now, see if you can pay attention to this thing. See how he does it. Verse 19, and he shall smite every fenced city and every choice city and shall fell every good tree. Ooh, knocking down trees for no reason. That's environmental problems today. And stop all wells of water and mar every good piece of land with stones. You know, mess everything up. And it came to pass in the morning, when the meat offering was offered, that behold, there came water by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water. Wow, isn't that amazing stuff? All this water, all this. Okay, here we go. Now listen close. And when all the Moabites heard that the kings were come up to fight against them, they gathered all that were able to put on armor and upward and stood in the border. Okay? So they got all these guys put together here, and they rose up early in the morning. That's the best time to start a war, is early in the morning. You probably know that. Do you ever try to wake her up early? And then you have a war, don't you? See, early in the morning. So all the wars started in the morning. Good morning. What? There's your war. Try it tomorrow morning. Wake up about 6. See what kind of war you have. No, good idea. Okay, you know, I'd like to have you come over sometime for a whole day. I could probably hear all sorts of things. Okay, here we go. Verse 21. When all the Moabites heard that the kings were come up to fight against them, they gathered all that were able to put on armor and upper and stood in the border. And they rose up early in the morning, and the sun shone upon the water, and the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood. Where'd all this blood come from? And they said, this is blood. The kings are surely slain, and they have smitten one another. Now therefore Moab to the spoil. To the death. To the spoil. And when they came up to the camp of Israel, the Israelites rose up and smote the Moabites. They just went in there to party, and they just ran, that's going to be so easy, and boom, they got clobbered. Rose up and smote the Moabites so that they fled before them. But they went forward smiting the Moabites even in their country. They chased them all the way back. They're just hitting them. And they beat down the cities, and on every good piece of land cast every man his stone and filled it, and they stopped all the wells of water and felled all the good trees. Only in Kirhaseth left they the stones thereof, howbeit the slingers went about it and smote it. Do you see how what happened here? I mean, this is exciting stuff. Where did all this water come from? God. Where did all this, how did this stuff get to be bloody? And it tricked the enemy, and they just tore off into this thing with their eyes closed, and they got clobbered. That's how God delivered them. God can do that. Can you imagine what would happen if America went over to Israel, or to Iraq or whatever, and filled it with water? And we flew over with all these planes and filled Iraq up with all this water. And then we flew over there with some chemicals. We all turned it red. It wouldn't work, would it? I mean, it just wouldn't work. But it worked when God did it. So these were quite the days. Where are we at? What's the verse? 26. And when the king of Moab saw that the battle was too sore for him, he took with him 700 men that drew swords to break through even unto the king of Edom, going for the top guy. But they could not. Then he took his eldest son that should have reigned in his stead and offered him for a burnt offering upon the wall. Nice guy. I imagine you thought about that a few times. Lord, how about an offering today? Sam, get over here. And there was great indignation against Israel, and they departed from him and returned to their own land. Wow. God's doing all these things. God is doing all these things. Now, look over at, let's go back to verse 11. And if you have your Bible, kids, if you have them, I'm not sure if you do, all of you, but there's that phrase again, a prophet of the Lord. Now look at verse 12. See, he recognizes the word of the Lord is with him. He's got a testimony of having the word of the Lord. And Elijah's doing miracles. Can you find Revelation in the back of your Bible? Revelation chapter 16. If anybody today claims that they know God and God told them to say something or do something, don't believe the guy. Now, what if this guy can do these miracles? He can do things that human people can't do. What other kind of people are there? Human beings can do. Now, here it says in Revelation chapter 16, verse 13. Going to start with Danica. Can you read any of that? Verse 13.
The mouth of the False
prophet. Prophet is a guy who said that he's from God, and he's a false prophet because he's lying today in this thing. Now, what do we see coming out of there? Three spirits like what?
Frogs.
Like frogs. Olivia, can you read verse 14 or some of it? Can you get into that one?
They are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the king of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God
Almighty. So we got spirits of devils working what? What are they doing? They're doing miracles. Now, how do we know that the miracles in the Old Testament are from God compared to the miracles in the New Testament in the future are not from God? Because this Bible tells us that in the Old Testament days, those are when God worked, and in the future, this is what's going to be taking place. So if anybody comes along with any miracles today, you know, God can do a miracle anytime he wants. You know that. You need to know that. God can get you a job. I mean, talk about miracles. I mean, he can do that. But he doesn't need anybody down here to do it for him, like Elisha. I'm not an Elisha. Your dad, as much as you love your dad and everything and all that kind of stuff, he just can't muster up a miracle. Now let's go to 2 Thessalonians. This Bible is telling us that in these days, that in the future, that these miracles that are going to be taking place today are not from God, even if it's a miracle. Miracles are things that we just can't do, but there's going to be some people come along that can do those things, but it still isn't from God. And parents, instill this into your kids, because when the day is coming, they cannot be tricked by something that looks miraculous. Even if it is miraculous. We're looking at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. John, would you read verse 9?
Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders.
See, there we go again. Whose coming is after Satan. So it's really exciting to read about Elisha and Elijah and Moses and Noah and all. We're going to learn some more guys, Jeremiah and Nehemiah, and all sorts of people to learn about. But that was what it was like then. It will not be like that today. And if it is today, it's not from God. The man of God, the prophet of the Lord, the words of the Lord are all put in this book right here today. And that's what you've got to get, you know, more than anything else. This is where all that takes place, right here. In this Bible. So, have you ever put anything under your pillow, like a book, and you woke up in the morning and you knew what that book said? Have you ever done that? That doesn't work. You actually have to read this thing. Now, are you a good reader? You're getting pretty good at reading. Does your mom read? She's a good reader. That's you too, and Olivia's reading, and the kids, and Danica, and Caitlin, you're learning to read and everything, and Amanda, our little she-whale, and John, and everybody, you just got to read. And you can hear from God just like Elisha did. You can hear from God just like Elisha did. Wouldn't that be exciting? I mean, you're standing outside, and all of a sudden God tells you something. You know how you can kind of pretend a little bit? When your dad says something to you or your mom says something to you, you still ought to obey what your dad and mom say just as if it was God speaking to you. That's the way it should be. And then as you grow up to be an adult, you learn to obey this thing in its proper manner, Kavino, and you learn that this is what you learn to follow, right here. Right here. Everywhere you can go while we're fishing. We've got a Bible in my fishing box. We can see what God has to say. We just can't part the river. And we can't call any she-fish to come up and attack this worm. That has to just come by nature, and if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. It works for him. It works for him. Works for him. Doesn't work for me. Anyway, take a break. We'll be upstairs in a minute.